Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. Each issue of Amber Waves is a window into ERS's broad research program, covering production agriculture, food safety and nutrition, the food industry, rural economies, agricultural trade, and farm-related environmental issues. Amber Waves is published five times a year in print and online. You can find the entire article online at ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. We are joined now by Sheila Sankaran, the editor-in-chief of ERS's e-zine, Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Anne Efland, one of the co-authors of the Amber Waves article, Global Agriculture and the Doha Round, Market Access is the Key. Anne, welcome to our podcast. You know, before we get started, why don't you give our listeners a quick overview of the article?
For the past 5 years, the World Trade Organization member countries have been struggling to negotiate an agreement in the Doha Development Round, which on July 24th of this year was indefinitely suspended. The Doha Declaration that launched the round emphasized the interests of developing countries, and while this increases potential gains, it does add to the complexity of the talks. WTO member countries, when they launched the round, acknowledged the benefits of reducing trade barriers, and they've pledged to continue reforming policies, but views on how to achieve reform remain far apart, as the suspension of talks makes clear. At center stage in the Doha round negotiations has been agricultural trade policy, which for purposes of the talks is organized into three categories or pillars: market access, export subsidies, and domestic support. And it's largely the persistent wide differences over the level of cuts necessary in each category that led to the current suspension of negotiations. Progress in all three pillars will be necessary to reach a final agreement, but tariff reductions to improve market access will be the key to achieving the real benefits of more open trade.
Why are the negotiations on agricultural trade policy so contentious?
The negotiations are contentious because opening markets will require countries to make real changes in how they support their agricultural sectors. Export-oriented countries generally favor increased access for their products. Developed countries like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the United States, as well as developing countries like Brazil and Argentina. Developing countries on the whole, however, generally favor less demanding requirements for opening their own markets, largely to protect what's a relatively undeveloped sector on which much of their population depends. In addition, there are developed countries that are primarily food importers with highly protected agricultural sectors, and they generally oppose ambitious tariff reductions for obvious reasons. Japan, Korea, Norway, Switzerland are among those countries.
Why is market access more key to achieving the benefits of liberalized trade than the other two pillars of agricultural negotiations, domestic support and export subsidies?
Market access is more key to trade liberalization primarily because it's more widely used. All countries have tariffs, and very few use domestic support and export subsidies. The impact's particularly important for South-South trade or among developing countries themselves because tariffs are virtually the only ag trade policy that they use. Changes in tariffs will make an immediate difference in market access. Reforming market access can also impact domestic support and export subsidies because tariffs frequently support those programs. They reduce government costs for price supports.
If reducing tariffs is beneficial, why do countries want to keep them?
Well, that's a good question. Countries want to maintain tariffs for a number of reasons. In developed countries, tariffs can provide a way to continue support to producers when other policies are being reduced. Tariffs can also be part of food security and environmental or rural development objectives. And in developing countries, tariffs can be an important revenue source and a means of helping to control the balance of payments. They're also a way of protecting, as I mentioned before, the small-scale or less productive farms in countries where a large proportion of the population is still dependent on agriculture.
In the short term, what benefits might be expected from increased market access?
Well, in countries that have had high tariffs, consumers would gain as soon as tariffs were reduced and prices began to decline to world levels. And in exporting countries, producers of commodities for which the tariffs were reduced would gain new markets as their products became competitive.
And what about the longer run?
In the longer run, reducing tariffs will bring about a more efficient allocation of resources. Resources are freed from less profitable enterprises and reinvested in more competitive areas. Those effects are different among different countries and among producers even within the same country, of course. And the opportunity, though, to invest new resources in enterprises that promise greater returns can be especially beneficial for developing countries, with the potential to bring productivity gains and higher incomes. And where higher incomes do result, the changes can eventually lead to greater demand for agricultural and other products as purchasing power increases.
Why do tariff cuts need to be ambitious to increase trade? Wouldn't moderate cuts also work?
Well, tariff cuts have to be ambitious because of the way tariffs were structured under the current WTO agreement. Member countries in the previous round agreed to a maximum level of tariffs beyond which they would not charge, which we call bound tariffs, the highest level that can be used. But for ordinary trade, countries usually use a lower level, what's called applied tariffs. And in many countries, for particular commodities especially, there can be a very large gap between the bound and the applied level. Now, if a Doha agreement is reached, the cuts to tariffs will take place from that bound level. So if cuts aren't large enough to go below the applied level that's actually used, there won't be any real new market access, and that's what's needed for a successful round.
Thank you, Anne. That was interesting. I've been speaking with Anne Efland, a co-author of Global Agriculture and the Doha Round, Market Access is the Key, appearing in the September issue of Amber Waves. You can find the complete article at ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. You'll also find articles on how agricultural policy affects land use and the environment, the effectiveness of food assistance as a safety net, and how income volatility affects participation in food assistance programs. This is Sheila Sankaran. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.